May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 389. Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Make me love thy precious word. Bid me seek thy smiling face, willing to be saved by grace. Hymn 389.
May the Lord help us to read Psalm 138 and Isaiah 64. Psalm 138. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredst me, and strengthened me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Isaiah chapter 64. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil. to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we look not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. Evidently, the prophet there is referring to the Lord's ways. In those ways of the Lord shall there be continuance, and we shall be saved, not in continuance in sin. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity for ever. Behold, see, we beseech thee. We are all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house where our fathers praise thee is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord, we do ask thy gracious help now, we may truly be drawn to thy footstool. Do lead us, blessed Spirit of truth, teach us truly how to pray. Breathe on these bones so dry, so dead. Conduct, bless, guide thy sinner train to Calvary, where the Lamb was slain, and with us there abide. Oh, we do ask, Lord, for real things, divine things. Lord, we are real sinners. If we don't feel it, make us really feel it. Oh, leave us not to lip confession. Easy. Oh, Lord, but that feeling, it cuts deep beyond expression. Lord, fits a sinner for the Saviour. For thou art not the physician of the whole, but of the sick. Lord, we pray then, work that work of thy free and sovereign grace in us. Lord, we cannot work it ourselves. Thou knowest, but thou hast said, I will work, and who shall let it? Save us, Lord, we beseech thee. We have treacherous, deceitful hearts. we have a subtle foe. Lord, be our God. Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead us and bring us unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles, even this night. Oh, may something be done by thee in us tonight. Work in us, Lord. Work upon us. Have mercy. Hear the prayers of thy people. Thou knowest those that have come here tonight praying, whether in words or sighs or groans or the upward glancing of an eye. Hear their prayers. Do more for them than they ask or even think. Lord, have mercy. Open the windows of heaven, we pray. Hast thou not promised to do it? Oh, might it please thee to do it even tonight, and pour out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive it, that we may be lifted by thy Spirit, in spirit, above this earth and its things, out of self, Lord. Oh, we do pray to be led out of self. We do pray that our service tonight may not be of self, but of God. Lord, do save us from legality. Lord, it is so steeply ingrained in us. Lord, as the hymn writer put it so well, off through pride, my stubborn will to Sinai feels a cleaving still. Oh Lord, grant tonight we may be freed from the law. Lord, what a foolish thing is legality. Because by the deeds of the law shall no man living be justified. That law is far above us with regard to our ability to obey it. But Lord, it is the law under which all mankind is found, except those made free by thy dear Son, Christ, the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst grant that impouring to this poor sinner here tonight. Grant me something of thy blessed Spirit. And Lord, may it be granted to the hearers. Oh, may we have such a speaking and hearing time as shall be felt to be liberating. Lord, we do pray for that ministry which is liberating. Lord, that is the ministry of thy Spirit. For we read, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Oh Lord, we pray for it. Free us, we beseech thee, from sin, from self, from this world, from our idols, from our fears, from our doubts, from all our infirmities. Lord, help us. We've naught to plead but thy sovereign grace. Lord, if thou wert strict to mark iniquity, we could not, we will not stand. Lord, there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared, and we pray for it. Forgive us this day's sins, the transgressions, Lord. We have committed that which we are forbidden to commit. We have omitted that which we are commanded to do. Lord, forgive us, we pray. Bless this people. Help them, Lord. Thou knowest the path that each one treads, the way that each one takes. Be very gracious unto them each. be very merciful. If there are, Lord, any dead in trespasses and sins, and they are thine elect, quicken them, we pray. Lord, thine arrows are sharp in the heart of thine enemies, and all men by nature are thy enemies. Thou dost have to send an arrow in turning an enemy into a friend, a rebel into a penitent, begging sinner. Lord, we pray then, mercifully wound the unwounded heart, and mercifully heal the wounded heart. Lord, maintain the life that thou hast put in thy people. Uphold them and keep them. Strengthen them, even as David professed. He had been wonderfully strengthened by his God in that psalm we read. Strengthen thy people with might by thy Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith. Oh, reveal thy Son in this place, Lord. Get to thy great name glory. Oh, may the great trumpet be blown, and they come which are ready to perish, and they worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. And Lord, help in the providential pathway. We commend to thee our afflicted friends. Be very gracious and merciful to them. Stand at the right hand of the poor in their afflictions, and defend them from him that would condemn their soul, the sins that would condemn them, the devil that would condemn them, their enemies that would condemn them. Who shall lay anything to the charge of thine elect? But Lord, they need thee at thy right hand to show they are thy elect, to speak that justifying word. Neither do I condemn thee. Lord, we pray for help. We do beseech thee that thou wouldst be very merciful in the afflictions. Thou wouldst, Lord, so grant that healing where it is thy will. But Lord, where it is not thy will to heal, do grant thy mercy still in the affliction. Lord, oh, we think of the words of the hymn writer. The rod is steeped, he on thee lays, and softened in his blood. Oh, we do pray that our afflicted friends may be proving this and prove it. And Lord, those everlasting arms underneath to uphold them. And that friend that loveth at all times, and that brother born for adversity, presencing himself with them. Lord, we seek it for them. We seek it for ourselves, Lord. We all need it. We thank thee if we have a healthy body, but Lord, we have sick souls. We are sinners. Lord, grant it to us then in the spiritual sense. We do beseech thee. Remember the young, watch over and keep them and help them. Bless them indeed. May they early in life be taught by thee to seek thee. For thou said, they that seek me early shall find me. Lord, direct them in their life's path. Bore their ears to the doorposts of thy house. Grant grace that they stand in the way and see and ask of the old paths and walk therein. Lord, have mercy. Bless them indeed. Lord, help those that have various trying things in their circumstances. Sanctify it all. Those things that are upon us all at this time. Oh, we do thank thee for thy mercy. We have prayed, Lord, that in wrath thou wilt remember mercy. And we believe thou hast answered. And we still have to pray the same prayer. In wrath, remember mercy. For except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we had been as Sodom and Gomorrah. For Lord, surely we are so. With regard to the iniquity of this land, the wickedness of the day in which we live. Oh Lord, do yet help thy little remnant, that very small remnant, and oh, may we be of them. Let none of us assume it is so. Grant us the confirmation, wherein thou hast made it known in days past. Do not let us deny it. But, oh, Lord, we pray for those confirmations. But, Lord, let thine elect still cry. Cause her to still cry. Oh, if it would please thee, continue thy restraint to the virus. If it would please thee, if it is consistent with thy will, deliver us as a nation. Restrain the wickedness of Britain. Overrule in high places. Lord, we pray for the restraint of the evil, the violence, the anarchy, the bloodshed. Lord, how little life is respected. How cheap life seems to be in so many people's eyes. But Lord, what shall a man give, thou said, in exchange for his soul? We do pray that thou wouldst grant a sense again of the worth of the soul, a sense again of the sanctity of life. And Lord, to thy people, Lord, are there any in this congregation? And they have never yet realized what a solemn thing it is to have a never-dying soul. They must stand before his Creator and give account. And unless we are found clothed in thy righteousness and washed in thy blood, Lord, unless we have a living union with thee, we must spend a never-ending eternity in unspeakable agony and woe, justly so. Lord, take the truth this night and apply it to sinners' hearts, that eternity may become a tremendous sound. But there may be that who can tell, if Christ and heaven be mine, how sweet the accents, how divine. May it be shown to those who do tremble at eternity that Christ and heaven is theirs. We do pray. Forgive all we ask amiss. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us further sing hymn number 23. A man there is, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran in hands and feet and side. Hymn 23.
in dependence on the Lord. I venture to direct you this evening to Psalm 138. Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hand. What a blessing, confidence the psalmist was given. A well-grounded confidence. A confidence in God. The Apostle Paul had the same confidence given him, didn't he, concerning the believers at Philippi. Being confident of this very thing. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And the psalmist, by the Holy Spirit, tells us how he came to have this confidence. You know, when we are given a right confidence, there is a way in which we have been brought to it. This is the testimony, isn't it, of every believer. We are commanded in the Word of God to be ready to give everyone a reason for the hope that is in us, with fear and trembling. Because this confidence that David had, it doesn't just appear from nowhere. There's a path in which the Lord leads his people, by which they come to this blessing. And David, in this short psalm, he indicates how it was he came to this place in his soul's experience of this time. You know, the Lord's people passed through so many changes. The Word of God makes that abundantly clear, doesn't it? How often we read the soul feelings of the Lord's people as the Holy Spirit helped them to write those things down, and the Holy Spirit included it in the canon of Scripture. The Psalms and other places. You think of Isaiah chapter 38. That record of King Hezekiah's sore trial, his sore affliction, and the way the Lord led him, turning his face to the wall when he had been told he was to die and not live. And how the Lord wonderfully heard his prayer. I've heard thy prayer, I've seen thy tears. I will add unto thy days 15 years. And so as we find Isaiah coming to the end of that chapter, we can trace the Lord's dealings. My dear friend, though no two of the Lord's people walk in exactly the same path, there are similarities. When the spouse in the Song of Solomon asked her beloved where he fed, where he made his flock to rest at noon, he answered, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. Poor soul here this evening, if you're walking in the footsteps of the flock of a poor sinner, mourning the Lord's absence, groaning under a sense of your lost condition, sighing unto him. For peace I had great bitterness, said Hezekiah. Go thy way forth. The Holy Spirit in his word has left on record those prayers which, as he puts them in your heart, you may use. Of course, there are some which are used by the Lord's people again and again and again. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. And in this psalm then, David says, in the day when I cried, thou answeredst me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Now, if God has ever done that for you, my dear friend, he will perfect that which concerneth you. I don't know why, but I'm going to have to repeat that. In the day when I cried, thou answeredst me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. If the Lord has ever done that for you, he will perfect that which concerneth you. I don't know whether I've told you before. There's a very old gravestone in our chapel yard at South Morton. It's a 19-year-old girl. And on her gravestone are those words of the psalmist, in my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me out of my distresses. And the Lord caused me to look at that tombstone one day. I felt such a spiritual union to that one who I felt sure had gone to glory more than 100 years before. Do you have some brethren and sisters in the Word of God? And some alive in the world today? Not many, but just a few. They talk the same language. They have the same griefs, the same sorrows, the same desires. They all declare, I nothing am, my all is bound up in the Lamb, my wit and might are his. This then is the ground of David's confidence. And he speaks this, walking in the midst of trouble. The Lord has said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. It is necessary. It is certain, because the Lord has said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But he said, be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. He has said these things, this gospel, these things concerning himself, these things I have said unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Why is the tribulation necessary? Lest we should think that there is anything of this earth, anything of this time state, anything of self can give us peace. The tribulation is God's proof that peace is only in Christ Jesus. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. It's the language of faith. The Lord's work is perfect. In this word perfect, there is really a double meaning. Firstly, the Lord will do a perfect work upon me and for me. That means much purging, much cleansing. That means much of the operation of the Holy Spirit upon me, so that God's will is done in me. The Lord will perfect. And then the other meaning of the word perfect, of course, is complete. The Lord will complete that which concerneth me. What a word for any of the Lord's people here tonight. If the Lord, the Blessed Spirit, take this word and fix it on your heart, you'll have a plea to make. You'll have a promise to plead, a truth to plead. Whatever condition you're in, whatever state you're in, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Then I see two meanings in the word concerneth as well. That which concerneth me. The first meaning, everything about me, that which concerneth me, my soul, my body, my business, my family, my home, the congregation, the church, my ministry, the path the Lord is leading you in, that which concerneth me, because the Lord is he that hath all things in his control. The Lord is he that dealeth with every single matter in every single one of his people's lives. There is nothing outside the care and the provision of Almighty God for his people. What a vast subject is that which concerneth me. But David is speaking of the infinite Lord. The infinite Lord. He who said when here on earth, not one hair falls to the ground without your heavenly Father's notice. Oh, what a special faith is needed to believe in the Lord. To believe that not a hair drops from our head. My dear friend, what unbelievers we are. And we are so troubled about this and troubled about that, and we forget. The Lord Jesus said to his people, ye are of more value than many sparrows. That which concerneth me, the Lord will perfect it. He will perfect it according to his word. You will never see the Lord do something contrary to his word. If something is contrary to his word, it's not his work. But he will perfect it. Now, how many things that concerning us the Lord has perfected, but it hasn't been in the way that we thought, but it has been perfect. We couldn't see it at the time. Hereafter he will make us know, and we shall surely find he was too wise to err and too good to be unkind. Child of God, there is nothing in that vast subject, that which concerneth you. There is nothing about you, your family, your business, your home, the church and the congregation, but what is in the Lord's perfect will, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Oh, what a great God the Lord's people have. Oh, what a full Saviour. From the very smallest matter in that which concerneth you, to the greatest matter in that which concerneth you. As it is the infinite God, thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power such, none can ever ask too much. And never think, my dear friend, that there is something too small to take to the Lord. There isn't. He makes that clear, doesn't he, in his word. If the number of your hairs is tallied by him, if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without your heavenly Father's notice, how can there be a matter too small to take to him? And yes, he is the infinite God. There cannot be a matter too great. What did we read in Isaiah 64 this evening? When the church is praying that the Lord would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at his presence. And then as we went through the chapter, did we not read that at the Lord's word, the mountains have flowed down? When thou didst terrible things which we look not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Now the other meaning I see in this expression concerneth me refers to the exercise of the Lord works in his people so that there are things that concern them. This is the other meaning of the word concerneth. And it is, my dear friends, so important. Because with regard to that other meaning, everything about you, body and soul and circumstances. When do you, my dear friend, and if you haven't done it yet, oh, what a solemn position you're in. When do you commit those things? When do you ask the Lord to perfect those things? Is it not when they concern you? That's how the Lord works. If he is going to save your soul, my dear friend, he'll make you concerned about it. If he's going to pardon your sins, he'll make you concerned about it. If he's going to give you faith, he'll make you concerned about your unbelief. If he's going to give you a soft heart, he'll make you concerned about having a hard one. If he's going to set you at liberty, he's going to make you concerned about your bondage. If he's going to reveal himself to you, he'll make you concerned about your blindness so you can't see him. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Now what a blessed truth this is. What is it tonight that concerns you, my dear friend? The Lord help you to take this word and plead it with him. You can't perfect it. You couldn't make yourself concerned about it. And let me say this, my dear friend. Sometimes the Lord's people are concerned that they're not concerned enough. That's a concern, isn't it? And is the one child of God that isn't sometimes concerned like that? The hymn writer John Newton was, wasn't he? In that hymn, "'Tis a point I long to know," what was he concerned about? Could my heart so hard remain, prayer a task and burden prove, if I truly love the Lord? The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. You and I can't touch it, my dear friend. We can't touch it. It's beyond us. It's the work of God. But here is faith. This isn't the fatalism of saying I can't do it. This is the faith of believing the Lord will do it. What a narrow line there is between fatalism and truth. Presumption on one hand, despair on the other. It's the way of faith, God-given faith. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Wasn't this what David proved? He cried unto the Lord concerning that which concerned him. That's what prayers are about, my dear friend. You never prayed really to God until you had something that so concerned you that you had to pray. As he enabled you to. As he gave you to feel there was no other. There's no other way out of this that concerned you. Don't think when David went against Goliath he wasn't concerned. He was. Undoubtedly he went against that great giant in faith. And prayer is the language of faith. When he refused to put on Saul's armor, saying, I've not proved it, and took up the sling and picked those stones out of the brook and said to Goliath, I come to thee in the name of the Lord God of hosts, whose armies thou hast defied. Don't think he wasn't concerned as he faced that tremendous man. Don't think he wasn't concerned as he looked at that man and saw he is virtually wholly covered in armor. And perhaps he spotted that little gap in the armor and he knew I should never hit that gap. with my stone unless God directs that stone. It concerned him, and the Lord perfected that which concerned him. He gave that stone a perfect aim. Mr. Philpott, in the portion we read at home this morning, concerning Joseph, his bow abode in strength and his arm was made strong. As Mr. Philpott recalled what Latimer said in his sermon, that to be a good bowman, you've got to be brought up from the very youngest boy. And when you're learning to be a bowman, the father holds the bow. The father pulls back the string. The father aims the arrow. The boy's hand is upon the father's hand. God doing it all. God perfecting that which concerneth. That's how Joseph's bow abode in strength, and his arms were made strong by the arms of the mighty God of Jacob, from whence is the stone, the shepherd of Israel. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. You perfect that which concerneth me. These things that concern you, my dear friend, what do you find about them? You find, do you not, they're too great for you to begin to comprehend? That's the thing, my dear friend. Oh, the Lord would never let us think that the things which concern us are within the scope of our understanding, within the scope of our powers to do it. You that are concerned tonight that you are so far off from God, what brings sinners near to God? But the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit, tells us in the Epistle to the Ephesians, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. How? By a minister's persuasion? By the threat of the holy law of God? By thunder and by lightning? By an earthquake? No, made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thou wilt perfect that which concerneth me. The Lord, the Almighty God, who stooped and came down and became that man that was in that hymn we just had announced. A real man, this wondrous man of whom we tell is true Almighty God. What must God do to perfect that which concerneth his people? He must himself come down and take their nature to perfect that which concerneth them. God taking the nature of man in a perfect way. There's that question, isn't there, in the book of Job. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? The answer is, God can. There was an unclean woman. She was a virgin. She wasn't unclean in that sense, but she was a sinner. But the Lord had promised right from the time man fell that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. He had promised by the prophet Isaiah and other prophets, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He will perfect that which concerneth me. Only by the Son of God taking the nature of man into union with himself could the nature of man be perfected. And it was perfected in that way. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. For that man is the God-man. My dear friend, the fulfillment of this faith that David was given here will be when David's dust is raised from the grave. And what will David's body be like then? It will be like that holy, glorified body of Christ. What is David's soul like now? For David's soul is in glory with God, with his Redeemer, with his Father and with the Holy Spirit. What is David's soul like? It is like the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord perfected the soul of man and the body of man and the mind of man because he took the whole of man into union with himself and took it not by ordinary generation but by the special, miraculous operation of the Holy Ghost. He brought a clean thing out of an unclean. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. And my dear friend, consider the enormity of what I've just said from the Word of God. Consider the enormity of it. Well might John the Baptist say, as he comes down to the end of his life, his work, his little work, tremendous work really, but little in comparison with Christ. Just a forerunner. He must increase. I must decrease. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. The reason why I've read Isaiah 64 with you is because of those words towards the latter half of the chapter, where the prophet Isaiah is reminding the Lord that he is our Father. But thou, O Lord, art our Father. We are the clay and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. We have set before us there the illustration with regard to the Lord's work, that which he perfected. The illustration of a vessel on the potter's wheel. Jeremiah was taken by the Lord to the house of the potter, wasn't he? And he saw a work on the potter's wheel marred in the hands of the potter. And God took that same lump and made it a vessel which was not marred. And he said, cannot I do with you, O Israel, as this potter doeth unto the clay? A marred work, and then a perfect work. What does it speak of? This perfecting by the Lord of that which concerneth you and me, child of God, will be the marring of everything of ourselves and the perfecting of everything of the Lord. That's the Lord perfecting that which concerneth. Don't think, my dear friend, when it says the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me, that it will be a repair of your old nature. It will be, as it were, a correcting of your work. No, it won't. Your work is too bad. Your work is too wrong. It's wrong at the root. Remember what Jesus said, make the tree good, and the fruit will be good. A bad tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Neither can a good tree bring forth evil fruit. That will perfect that which concerneth me. Are you concerned, my dear friend, that you feel so dead? I am, says the Lord, the resurrection and the life. Lazarus, come forth. When I passed by thee, thy time was a time of love. I said unto thee, live. That will perfect that which concerneth me. Who can raise the dead to life but he that raised himself indeed, and four dead sinners died? The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Oh, my dear friend, that which concerns, do your sins concern you? Does your disobedience of the holy law of God concern you? Does your inability to keep that law concern you? The Lord will perfect all that perfect obedience of Christ. What a way of perfecting that which concerneth his people. This is what he'll do, my dear friend. He'll take it right out of your hand. My dear friend, we're such wretches, we're such helpless characters. Sometimes, when we were learning things when we were youngsters, and I served an apprenticeship, so I know what I'm speaking about. We used to make mistakes, our instructor used to come along. And it wasn't on just one occasion. He had to take the work out of our hand and do it himself, and that we should watch him do it. He tried to instruct us, he tried to say, now do it this way, but we couldn't. So what did he do? He took it out of our hand and did it. And said, watch what I am doing. That's what God does in perfecting that which concerneth his people. If you've got something tonight in your life, my dear friend, that the Lord has shown you, I speak it reverently, you've made a complete mess of it. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. He'll come and take it right out of your hand. And how will he do it? He'll make you to feel this is important, that this matter is put right. My dear friend, it's important that your soul is put right. It's important that your prayers are right. It's important that you have the right repentance. When you've tried to repent and made a mess of repentance, as everyone does, when you've tried to believe and made a mess of believing, as everyone does when they tried to do it themselves. Because the Lord has a purpose concerning that lump of clay. He will not forsake the work of his hands. He'll do it entirely himself. And you see, that's what the Lord's people are brought to when they really brought to pray, like the psalmist was here in verse 3. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Can't some of you say, write T&P against this, tried and proved? Can't some of you, aren't some of you this evening, even now, walking this path in some matter in your life? I hope in your never dying soul. You were brought to your wit's end in the matter. And you cried unto the Lord in the matter. And he took it completely out of your hand. And it hasn't yet come to the complete fruition of it. He'll watch over it. He'll nurture it. When that baby, Moses, was born, in which time Moses was born, when he was born, look how the Lord perfected that which concerned him. That which concerned the Lord. You see, Moses was appointed of God. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Oh, I hope, my dear friend, in my little measure, I am not altogether a stranger to what I'm speaking now, concerning the way the Lord watched over me from the time when I was in the womb. But look how the Lord watched over Moses. He's not going to be drowned. But who would have thought Moses was going to be preserved in the way he was? It's just about the most unlikely way, wasn't it? That's the way God works. And that's how it is with your soul, my dear friend. In our legality, we never thought we could be saved in such a glorious way as God saves. We thought, no, God cannot save me like that. God cannot save me from being so bad as I am. He cannot save me without me doing anything. But he does. Not that his people are left doing nothing. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, he said, I have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that ye both will have and will do those things which God hath appointed. It is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Oh, the Lord kindly, he draws near, he comes alongside us. Oh, my dear friend, if you have walked this way, if you're walking this way, he's not going to leave you. When you couldn't pray, did he perfect that which concerned you? When you perhaps had come to the conclusion, I won't pray anymore, there's no use to pray anymore, did he let you stop praying? No. He brought you to the end of trying in your own strength. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Oh, that obedience then of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a way in which there is there that perfection of that which concerneth. As by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. What a perfecting of that which concerneth me. What about those transgressions? He hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. How concerned David was when convinced of the Spirit. Now look at the perfect way the Lord dealt with it. He gave repentance. He gave faith. He gave the sentence of forgiveness. He gave the renewing of the Spirit, and he gave the creation of a clean heart in that man. The Lord did it all. If you read Psalm 51, David has come to the end of all his doings. Now the Lord begins to do. All thy wastes I will repair. Thou shalt be rebuilt anew, and in thee it shall appear what the God of grace can do. Now, what a perfecting. Because when God works, his work is perfect. When God works, the sinner is humbled in the dust. When God works, God has the glory for that which he has done. But you see, the text speaks of that which David knows has yet to be done. And he is given by God this confidence, this faith, this trust in God to go on doing for me what he has begun to do for me. David realizes that which concerns him is not perfected yet. Paul realized it, didn't he, writing to the Philippians. I cannot myself to have apprehended. No. I press toward the mark. But I see the time is quickly passing. I must try and come to the rest of this verse, if the Lord may help me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me, thy mercy. It's merciful perfecting. Thy mercy. Oh, what a perfecting thing is the mercy of God. May I sit forever viewing mercy's streams in streams of blood. That's why mercy is such a perfecting thing. Mercy only flows in the streams of the Saviour's blood. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth. In this statement, David evidently has a view. Of what a sinner he still is. One need he has. Of the Lord's mercy. And what a view he has in hope of this. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me, because his mercy endureth forever. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. We need reminding of this, my dear friend. Often the adversary says, when the Lord is hiding his face from us, where is now thy God? You can't expect the Lord to keep doing this for you when you keep sinning. Now the Lord will not let his people go on sinning cheaply. Paul makes this clear in one of his epistles when he says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? But till the believer dies, he or she is a sinner. To question whether God will go on delivering his people and perfecting that which concerns them because they are sinners is utterly, doctrinally corrupt, false. He did not begin the work with any thought in his infinite mind that these people in whom he was beginning the work were not sinners, would not still be sinners, He began it in his faithfulness. Oh, that word is with me earlier today. Tried to mention it to someone in a communication. God is faithful. This is what David has in view here. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. But isn't David reminding the Lord of his mercy? Isn't this strong pleading? Oh, it is. Isn't this the strong argument that Job speaks of? I would fill my mouth with arguments. Isn't this the reasoning together with the Lord that he calls his people to in the first chapter of this prophecy, of the prophecy of Isaiah? Thy mercy, and O Lord, endureth forever. In mercy perfect that which concerneth me, Lord. Oh, I am certainly not perfectly sanctified, Lord. Oh, in mercy continue thy sanctifying work. It's not a progressive work. The person is increasingly sanctified only by the increasing knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but their old nature is not altered one whit. He will perfect that which concerneth me. As he makes himself more and more known unto me. As he renews the operation of the Holy Spirit upon me by which I am sanctified. And what a merciful sanctification it is. It's not that he will sanctify me more because I do more. No. He'll sanctify me more in his mercy. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Those works of the Lord's hands. Firstly, it seems to come to me like this. And what does what does the psalmist say? Thy gentleness hath made me great. How gently the Lord dealt with David. God's gentleness made David great. Oh, my dear friend, when you consider the sins of the Lord's servant David, how gently, but how effectually the Lord dealt with David. And isn't that an instruction for us each? Oh, to be in the hands of the Lord. That it might be the work of the Lord working in us. That in those things that we have to attend to. And you see, this works out in Paul, the Apostle Paul. He speaks to one of the churches. He says, I was among you as a nurse. A nurse that tendeth to those children under her care. Forsake not the work of thy hands. But when we say the Lord's work is a gentle work, is gentleness, there's no weakness in that gentleness. It's two completely different things. Even naturally speaking, how strong can someone who is gentle? There can be more strength in somebody who deals gently than in somebody who deals roughly. And how is the strength proven? By what the work does. What the work does. There was a young woman that went into the congregation at Barton many, many years ago, came in out of the world, dressed like it. And the people said to the pastor, Eben Clark, "Mr. Clark, what are you going to do about this? What are we going to do about this?" He said, "Watch and pray." And week by week, they saw the Lord answering those prayers. "Forsake not the work of thy hands, the sin-conquering work of thy hands, the soul-cleansing work of thy hands, the upholding work of thy hands." Are there not those of you here this evening, and those of you that listen on at home, and you cannot deny that the Lord's hands have held you up? But you have to pray, "Lord, forsake not the work of thy hands." You see, if you really have proven that the Lord's hands have done the work, and you dread his hands being withdrawn from the work, doesn't the hymn writer speak to this end? "When the Lord withdraws, withholds his power, then we find our weakness. Forsake not the work of thy hands, Lord. Finish it." Oh, what a good prayer. What a good place to be in. "Thy whole dependence on me fix. No entertainer thought thy worthless schemes with mine to mix, but venture to be null." How humble. What humility the Lord Jesus showed in the work of his hands. Wasn't long ago, was it? I tried to speak from that word in John 13, the Lord Jesus taking the form of the lowest servant. The work of his hands then was to take a towel, take the basin, and wash the disciples' feet. "Not my feet only, Lord, but my hands and my head. Forsake not the work of thy hand." Look how tenderly the Lord speaks there. Does a person's feet get dirty once a year? Don't they get dirty every day? Don't your feet, don't your hands, don't your head, doesn't your head, doesn't your ears, doesn't your mouth, doesn't your heart get filthy? Forsake not the work of thy hands. Help me, Lord, as oft as sins defile me, to turn my eyes to Jesus' blood. You see, it's only he that can apply it. Those hands of the Lord Jesus, it's those hands that did the washing. And he teaches us a lesson by this. The blood isn't given to someone else to apply. The Lord applies it. The words aren't given to someone else to speak. The Lord speaks them. The promises aren't in the hands of someone else to give. The forgivenesses aren't given to some earthly priest to speak. No, forsake not the work of thy hands. If you've had anything done good this evening, my dear friend, it's not the work of my hands, is it? It's the work of God's hands. Forsake not the work of thy hands. And if you want a summary as we come to a close of what the work of those hands are, is, consider what Christ did. And Then consider what the Holy Spirit did and does. And consider it all flows from the love of God the Father. Jesus said to his disciples, I have loved you with the same love that my Father has to me. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. It's a fatherly love that the Son bestows. It is a fatherly ministry. Like as a father pitieth. The works of the Lord's hand are pitying works, not pitying your sins, not pitying your old nature, but pitying your soul. Lord, deny me what thou wilt. Only ease me of my guilt. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. When a sinner has fallen like that man who fell among thieves, the Good Samaritan, he came and poured in the oil and the wine, and bound up his wounds and lifted him up, put him on his own beast and took him to an inn and paid for his care. Forsake not the work of thy hands. Perfect that which concerneth me. When he brings each one of his people to glory, when he raises their bodies incorruptible from the dust, or changes them if they're alive, when he comes again, perfected, made like unto Christ, does not yet appear, says John, what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Forsake not the work of thy hands, that sanctifying work. Gold in the furnace tried ne'er loses aught but dross. So is the Christian purified and bettered by the cross. Forsake not the work of thy hands. Don't take thy hand off me, Lord. Keep me praying. Keep me exercised. Keep me looking to thee. Keep me from evil that it may not grieve me. Lord, keep speaking with that power that is in thy hand. Forsake not the work of thy hands. You know, when the child of God comes to those places in their experience, they say to themselves, when did I last feel the Lord's hand upon me? I ask you tonight, are there those of you in this congregation, when you've never felt the Lord's hand upon you? What a solemn position you're in. But to go back to that one who realizes, I haven't felt the Lord's hand upon me. Will you not be concerned? Perfect that which concerneth me. That hand, Lord, that wrought for me. That hand that humbled me, that taught me, that drew me. That arm that was put around me, Lord, put it around me again. That hand that lifted me up out of the horrible pit, I'm back in it, Lord. Lift me up again and put me on the rock again. That hand that caught me when I was sinking, because I looked on the waves and the wind, the hand that immediately was stretched out and caught me. Lord, I'm sinking again. Put it forth. Forsake not the work of thy hands. Till thou hast brought me to that desired haven. Forsake not the work of thy hands. Amen.
Our closing hymn is 976. Jesus is a wise physician, skillful and exceeding kind. Through him sinners find remission and enjoy sweet peace of mind. Hymn 976.
Do effect that perfect cure. Bless thy word to us. We thank thee for it. We thank thee that thou art so merciful, so faithful, so almighty, so kind as dost deal so gently with thy people. Go on to be gracious to us. us. Pardon all that has been ours in this service. Watch over and keep us. Take us to our homes in peace and safety. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.